The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispering, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so rise and shine, 7:30 a.m., and welcome back, everybody. What I thought I would do here, we start out with, is to give you a little bit of context for the words that you just heard, okay? Because before Jesus says these words to his apostles, he tells them that he's about to send them out now for the very first time to preach in his name. And as he tells them that, he also tells them this. He says, "Beware. I'm sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves." And what they've done to the teacher, they're going to do to the student. If they hated me, they're going to hate you too. And it will be your own relatives, friends, and family members who will hand you over to kings and governors and judges. Some of you they'll persecute. Some of you they'll throw into prison. Some of you they'll put to death. Beware. And you know, the apostles hear that and they're scared. And it raises a question, why would Jesus say such as that to such as his apostles at such a time? And the answer is that before he sends them out to preach for the very first time, he needs to teach them an important lesson. He needs to teach them the difference between what to fear and what not to fear. He needs to tell them that message and us as well. And that's why he says, "Fear no one." Okay, so this morning, let's talk just a little bit about fear, shall we? Fear is a complicated reality. Fear is one of those words that resists easy definition. Fear is not something you can control. Fear is not something you can switch off as though it were a light switch. And contrary to what you'll hear from sloganeers and what you might read on bumper stickers, not all fear is bad. No less than St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that. He says, fear is nature's way of protecting you from danger. And that there's no virtue in recklessly placing yourself in the path of danger or endangering anybody else for that matter. Aquinas gives what I consider, at least what I consider to be the best definition of fear that I've ever heard. And he says this. He says, fear is the knowledge that something you love might be lost. Best definition I've heard. Fear is the knowledge that something that you love might be lost. And by the way, if you ever want to really know somebody, observe what they fear. They won't always tell you what they love, but you can find out. Observe what they fear, and you'll know what they love. Now, there's natural fears in everybody, right? Everybody's afraid of losing their safety. They're afraid of losing their property. They're afraid of losing their health. They're afraid of losing their relationships to illness. They're afraid of losing to death. Most people are deathly afraid of suffering, and I don't know anybody who is not afraid to die. Nothing wrong with that. Perfectly natural to fear such things. But Jesus would raise you above what's mere perfectly natural. He wants to raise you up to super nature. That's why he says, fear no one. And you could ask this question, how do I fear no one? The answer comes from the first letter of St. John, one of the greatest quotes from the Bible. St. John says, perfect love casts out fear. How? How does perfect love cast out fear? Well, what's perfect love? What does that mean? Perfect love would have to be the love of God, wouldn't it? And if fear is the knowledge that what you love might be lost, and that your whole heart is given over to the love of God, guess what? You're afraid of nothing. Because the love of God is not something you can lose, except by sin. And by the way, whenever we sin, it's not God who turns away from us. It's we who turn away from God. You want to be afraid of something? Be afraid of that. And that's why Jesus follows it up by saying, be afraid of the one who can cast body and soul into Gehenna. The only time Jesus ever says, be afraid of anything, right? The one who can cast body and soul. Who's the one who can cast body and soul? Who is that? What, is Jesus talking about the devil there? Are we all supposed to be afraid of the devil now? No. No, he's not. The devil can't send you to hell. The only thing the evil spirit can do is tempt you. He can cause division, he can cause anxiety, he can cause confusion. But only you, only I, can commit a sin. Which leads to the ironic conclusion that everybody who does go to hell goes as a volunteer. But he says Gehenna, interesting history behind that word. Gehenna was actually a place in Jesus' time. Gehenna was a garbage dump for the city of Jerusalem, and it was located in a valley on the south side of the city where, at the darkest time in Israel's history, under the days of King Ahaz, the Israelite people sacrificed live babies to the pagan god Moloch. And when they emerged out of that darkness, they used that valley as a garbage dump. They said, this place is going to be impure for time immemorial. And they threw their trash in there and they burned it. They got rid of it by incineration. And they say that the fire never went out in the valley of Gehenna. Day or night, summer or winter, rain or shine, the fire always burned in the pit of Gehenna. And that's why Jesus uses it as a metaphor for hell. Now, true confessions here this morning. Left to my own devices, I probably wouldn't believe that you could go to hell. Left to my own devices, I'd probably figure that, you know, God is too merciful and too good and he'll find a way to get everybody to heaven. But someone who knows better than I do says otherwise. No less than sweet and gentle Jesus is the one who tells us that some people don't make it. And it's not just here. All up and down the Gospels, you got to use every kind of smoke and mirrors and literary subterfuge to try to pretend like Jesus doesn't say that. And not only that, you know, but he doesn't tell us the comparative population statistics. He doesn't tell us, you know, more people go to heaven, more people go to hell. But he does say something that should cause you to stop and pray, to stop and think for a bit. He says that the way that leads to destruction is wide, and there's many people riding that road. And he says the way that leads to life is narrow, and few they are who find that path. I don't know. You hear that? Do your own math. But Jesus says, you want to be afraid of something? Be afraid of that. But other than that, we fear too much. Everything and everyone. And that's why the most common commandment in the whole Bible is be not afraid. Most common commandment in the Bible. Somebody once told me, it's in the Bible 365 times, once for every day of the year. And I thought, you know, that sounds too neat. I don't believe it. So I looked it up. Turns out it's in the Bible 139 times. But it's still the most common commandment God gives to his people. It's what the first thing God said to Abraham as he sent them out to a place where he would settle. It says, be not afraid. It's what God said to Isaac and Jacob and Moses in the burning bush. Be not afraid. It's what Jesus says to his apostles as he sends them out for the very first time. It's what he says to us as well. Fear no one. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. How? How? We remember that perfect love casts out fear. You know what that means? That means freedom from fear is the reward of those who abide in God's perfect love. Get yourself into a state of grace. Get to confession. Make it a good one. Get into a state of grace and stay there. And watch your fear melt away. That's what happened to Jeremiah. That's actually what our first reading was all about. Jeremiah was given one of the toughest jobs in the Bible. Jeremiah's job was to be God's last warning to the people of Israel. God had sent prophet after prophet, and he told them, turn back from your sins. You got to change your ways. There will be consequences. Jeremiah shows up. He says, listen, I'm your last warning. Turn away from your evil doing. People hated Jeremiah for that. Jeremiah suffered greatly, but he didn't fear. First reading, listen to this. The Lord is with me like a mighty champion. It'll be my persecutors who stumble. They're the ones that won't triumph. Praise the Lord who rescues the life of the poor from the power of the wicked. Where does he get that? It's God's reward for those who abide in him. It's all up and down the history of our church, too. Lives of the saints, stories of people who aren't afraid of anything. One of my favorite stories, Saint Bernadette. You know, hopefully you all know about Our Lady of Lourdes, right? 1858 in France. If you don't know about Our Lady of Lourdes, I hope you learn about it soon. But Saint Bernadette was a little girl who saw the Blessed Virgin Mary appear at Lourdes. And later in her life, she became a religious sister in her convent. And as fate would have it, that convent ended up on the front lines of battle. The year was 1870. France was at war with the Kingdom of Prussia. And the convent of Saint Bernadette was right on the front lines. The French army captured the convent, decided to use it as a garrison. They stationed cannons at the gate, snipers in the tower. The postulants were sent off to other houses. The novices were sent off to other houses. Some of the nuns just ran away out of pure fear. Not Bernadette. Stood her ground. And one night, as the Prussian army was cresting the hill, war drums rumbling, torches waving, guns locked, loaded, and at the ready. Tension so thick you could cut it with a knife. French army was in their positions, waiting to see who would fire first. One of the soldiers turns to Bernadette. He says, aren't you afraid of the Prussian army? Bernadette says, no, I'm only afraid of bad Catholics. Where'd she get that? Ice water for blood. She got it in the same place Jeremiah got it. Freedom from fear is the reward of those who abide in Christ. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Here's a story that you might even remember. Mother Teresa of Calcutta once was invited to be the keynote speaker at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. Now, the National Prayer Breakfast is a nice event. It's held in a nice hotel, and they invite a nice speaker to come and say nice things about God to the president and the first lady and all the leading members of Congress. So here's Mother Teresa standing up to speak at the National Prayer Breakfast. What does she talk about? Abortion. Yeah, she looks the president of the United States square in the eye and calls into task for failing to stand up for human life. Talk about speaking truth to power. Ice water for blood. Where does she get that freedom from fear? Same place Jeremiah got it. Same place Bernadette got it. Freedom from fear is the reward of those who abide in Christ. Does God want that for you too? Yes. I don't know. The way things are going in this country, I tend to think you're going to need that pretty badly. You're going to need to care a lot more about what God thinks of you than about what anybody else thinks of you. And the good news is, he's already given it to you. Because whenever God commands something, he empowers you to live what he commands. Whenever God says something, it happens. God says, let there be light. Guess what? There's light. God says, this is my body. Guess what? It really is his body. And when he commands his apostles, fear no one, at that moment, he empowers them to live what he commanded. The only thing wanting, the only thing waiting, is our cooperation. So will you? Will you? Courage does not mean that there's nothing to be afraid of. Courage begins when you remember that there's something more important than your fear. God waits for your cooperation, which is why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.